You to open up to Luke chapter 20. As I mentioned, we're going to start a new message series called Tomorrowland. And we'll be looking at this thing that Jesus says is ours if we are in him. And it's not heaven, it's resurrection. And it's important to know, it's something different. It's resurrection. What does that look like? Well, we're going to be looking at chapter 20 and we're going to see Jesus' discussion with some people who didn't think the resurrection really was true. He's going to be talking to some Sadducees. We're going to start in chapter 20, verse 27. It's on the overhead. It's also in your bulletins. This is what Luke records. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife but no children, his brother should marry the widow. And I have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died. Then the third brother married her. And this continued all seven of them who died without children. Finally, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, marriage is for people here on earth, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like angels. They are children of God and children of the resurrection. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, even Moses proved this when he wrote about the burning bush. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, he referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead, for they are all alive to him. Well said, some teacher, remarked some of the teachers of religious law who were standing there, and then no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our new message series, Tomorrowland, what I want us to begin exploring is our hope for tomorrow. How many of you are Disney fans? You like Disney World? I do too. I really tried to convince my wife that we needed to go to Disneyland for our honeymoon. That didn't fly. She wanted the Caribbean or something like that. Why? I love Disneyland. I love that adventure. I love that make-believe. And honestly, one of my favorite parts of Disneyland is Epcot Center. Disney World, I should say, is Epcot Center. I love all of the other country stuff, but I also love Tomorrowland. You know, Tomorrowland, that place where it's a vision of what the future will be like. It's this idea of what could happen if our imaginations were allowed to expand, if we weren't held back. And there's a really good movie named Tomorrowland. George Clooney is in it. And the idea of that movie, again, is that this place exists where there's peace and there's harmony because all of our limitations are removed and what could be begins to actually take place. And I think the truth is for a lot of us in the church, not just this church, I mean church in general, we see our future, we see heaven as some great tomorrow land. Someday, we'll be there, and everything will make sense. Everything will be taken care of. Someday, we'll pass from this world into the next, and just like that, just in a flash, it's all good. It's all grand. But the problem with that mentality is, to be honest, it's not very scriptural. The idea of this heaven that's a la-la land of clouds and of angels and harps, this idea actually was contrary to a lot of what Jesus taught. Jesus has this big word in place, and it's a big word that he lived out. He proved. It's called resurrection. That's not a place where we become a spirit and everything is fulfilled. No, resurrection is this place where this body is restored, where this body comes back to life, renewed and made perfect, just as Jesus's rose from the grave. I mean, that's a little bit different than what a lot of us imagine, isn't it? We pass, we're buried, and we're instantly in heaven, and yet Jesus says, no, there's going to be this time of resurrection, where physically, we're back from the dead. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's what he promises. And that's what happened with Jesus. He rose from the dead, and he went and had breakfast with his disciples. He rose from the dead, and yet he said, touch me. Really, really interesting, isn't it? Put your hand in my side. There's a physical to it. It's different. It's not just some heaven that's far away. It's a restored life here. And how does that work? I'm going to be honest. I don't know. The one person I know who was resurrected ascended to his Father, and he says he's going to come back. And so you and I will know what that looks like tangibly when he comes back, because that's his promise. I can't see it. I don't know anybody who's been resurrected personally other than Jesus. I don't know what that looks like. Frankly, I'd be really freaked out if somebody came up out of the grave right now. But when Jesus talks about tomorrow, when Jesus talks about our hope and our future, it's not a distant la-la land. It's not a distant tomorrow land. It's a resurrection, a new creation in the here and now. And it's really important that we understand that, because it changes. It will change, if we grab a hold of that, it will change how we live now. So the first scripture we're looking at is this conversation Jesus has with the Sadducees. If you're not aware of who the Sadducees were one of two main, I'm going to use the word political parties, religious parties in Jesus' day. There were some other ones. Just like in our day and time, there's a Green Party, there's a Libertarian Party. They're smaller. They got some influence, but they're smaller. And some of you may even say they're a little bit more extreme. And there were some of those back in Jesus' day, the Herodians, the Zealots. But the two big parties, like our Republicans and Democrats today, were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the two powerful movers and shakers in Jesus' day. And the Pharisees were very religious, but also very spiritual. They believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in a God who continued to speak to his people. And the goal of a Pharisee was to be so in line with the law that we could be able to hear. And that was Jesus' beef with them. Jesus agreed almost 100% with the Pharisees in what they believed. His beef with them is how they lived. It's they pretended that I believe this, but they didn't really live it. They put heavy chains on everybody else. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. But they didn't really do it themselves. That's why Jesus was always arguing with the Pharisees. They actually believed very much the same thing. And there's some research that it's possible Jesus was trained by Pharisees. That part of his training in growing up. Theologically, he was in line with the Pharisees. He saw them as hypocrites. The Sadducees, though, they were a different brand altogether. They didn't believe in all this spiritual stuff. They were religious. They were powerful. They tended to be wealthy. They held all the high positions. They were the high priests. They were the main priests at the temple. And they worked with the Pharisees in sort of a house of representatives like we have, called the Sanhedrin. And they occupied a lot of those spots, and they were the high priest over all of it. They were very powerful, very religious, but they did not believe in anything beyond the physical. They didn't believe in a heaven. They didn't believe in a hell. If God was there, they were deists. God was an absentee watchmaker. God wound up the world and just set it to go. God wasn't actively involved in daily life. They only believed in what they could see, what they could touch. And so they cut deals. And really, frankly, they could care less about Jesus. If you look through the scriptures, the Sadducees don't interact with Jesus very much at all until the end. And it's at the end, after Jesus goes into the temple and turns over the tables, well, now he's messing with their world. Now he's on their territory. He's messing things up for them. The Romans might come in and make life more difficult, and we don't want that. So now we're going to go to Jesus. We're going to shut this guy down. And as the wealthy elitists that they were, they had all of the best arguments. They knew how to trip up anybody. And these crazy Pharisees, these crazy people that believe in the resurrection, I mean, really, who's ever seen anybody raised from the dead, for crying out loud? I can stump them, is what a Sadducee said. And they had their big question. They had this one in their back pocket, and anytime anybody said anything about a resurrection or the afterlife, they would pull this one out. Boom. Go ahead and try to answer that one. And it was a good question. Nobody could answer it. And so when the Sadducees pull this out and go, boom, I'm sure all of the Pharisees were going, oh, this is done. I don't know the answer to this one. How do you do this? And so Jesus is asked this question. What about marriage? Because the law, the book of Moses, the five first books of the Old Testament, the Sadducees really bought into that. It does have this crazy rule that I get married, and if I die before I have any kids, well, we want my name to pass on. And since I didn't have any kids, my wife would go and marry my brother. And the first child they would have would not be named after my brother, it would be named after me. So my name continues on. How would you like that? You want to be married to my brother? I mean, we kind of think that's weird nowadays, don't we? But that was a practice back then. That was a guideline in the Torah. And so the Sadducees come up and say, okay, Jesus, you believe all of the Old Testament. You say we need to be obedient. Check out this law and tell me how this works with the resurrection. How does this work with the afterlife? There's this brother. He marries and he dies. And whoa, all seven brothers have her. And none of them bear a child. In the resurrection, whose wife is she? And my first gut is, if she's been with seven guys and killed them all, my guess is she hasn't been raised to the dead, or if there's a heaven and a hell, you know where she's at. How do all seven brothers go there? But that's not how Jesus answered it. And he challenges them in a way that I think should really challenge us. I think it should really challenge us. Because who were the Sadducees? They were essentially atheists. They were agnostics. Practical atheists. Sure, they believed in God, but God did not influence their life. And there's a good book by Craig Groeschel that challenges Christians in the same way, that there's a lot of Christian atheists today. Oh, sure, they believe in Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the Lord. I've said my prayer. But Jesus doesn't change their daily life. It's, I believe in Jesus, but I live as if Jesus doesn't really exist. Sure, I believe in Jesus, but I don't really forgive others. Sure, I believe in Jesus, but I don't share my faith. Sure, I believe in Jesus, but I don't love my neighbor. And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of us that are guilty of that at different times and in different ways in our life. Are we not? I believe in Jesus, but I don't really live like I do. I maybe go to church. I throw something in the offering plate. I'm not sacrificial in it, but I do something. It's a big challenge to us. And in a lot of ways, I want to say I can be guilty of believing in Jesus and not living like he really exists. Not living like what he said, the resurrection, the hope. All of that is really true. It's sort of like a fan. There's a book by Kyle Idleman. Maybe some of you guys have done the Bible study, not a fan. You know, we can be fans of Jesus, and not really followers. Some of us are fans of the Carolina Panthers. Some of us are fans of State. Some of us are fans of UNC. What's your team? You're a fan. You sit on the sidelines. You cheer them on. You'll give some time, but you don't actually get involved on the field. You don't get involved on the court. There's a difference between a follower and a fan of Jesus. Someone engaged, it's life-changing, and someone who sits in the pew. And Jesus is challenging these Sadducees. They're saying, wait a minute, you don't get it. Jesus is saying, wait a minute, you're just living for today. And you know what it made me think of? It made me think of high school. And I didn't share this with the early service. We were watching a video in Sunday school, and it really challenged me to think of it this way. How many of you remember that person in high school that was Mr. or Mrs. Everybody? They had it all together. They were student body president. They were the most popular. You know, they were the star football player. And what they did is they really peaked in high school. Have you seen people like that? You've gone back to the class reunion. They were everything. And then you go and you see them and they amounted to nothing. You know, Facebook has helped me see that these people I just wanted to be like in high school, I thought they had it all together. They were always out doing it all. And I look at them now and I go, oh my gosh, what happened? The Sadducees were like that. They were living for today. They thought this was all there was. They were fans of God. They were involved in religion, but they weren't working ahead. I mean, I'm sure if you and I could go back, we would challenge our distant self, our past self, to think ahead even more, wouldn't we? I would go back and encourage my distant high school self to not get so drawn into all of the drama and work towards college and graduation and a career. I mean, wouldn't I go back and tell myself mostly everything my parents tried to teach me? That's what we would do. Pay attention. That girl that you think is all of the world and will love you forever is going to dump you in a week. Don't spend your life savings on something. You're in high school. I mean, and for some of you, when you were in high school, maybe that is. You married your high school sweetheart and you moved on. But nowadays, I mean, really, that's an uncommon thing. And you'd want to speak that truth into it. You would want your past self to realize there's so much more to life. And as Paul talks with the Sadducees, he's trying to encourage them. I'm sorry, as Jesus talks with the Sadducees, he's trying to encourage them that they're not seeing the whole picture. That we're called to live for tomorrow. That we're called to keep tomorrow, the resurrection, in view today. It's what you would tell a high school student. Keep college and your job and your career and your future in view, wouldn't you? Plan for the future. Allow your future to impact you today. And that's what Jesus is telling these Sadducees. Paul would say this about Christians who really believe and who really live out the resurrection. He would say this to us. He says, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, if your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. It's a good point. If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, all of this is worthless. Some good teaching, it maybe makes you feel good, but it has no eternal significance. It has nothing. It offers nothing for tomorrow. Our hope, because Jesus is alive, is that we'll live too. That is why we follow Jesus. That is why we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, that we might be where he is. And if he's not there, boy, what a waste. Then he says this, and if your hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else. When you think back to high school, to that, I'm going to use a harsh term. How many of you remember the nerd? How many of you have seen them on Facebook now and wish you had half of what they have? Because they made the right decision in high school, didn't they? They made the right decision in college. They buckled down and thought about the future and tried to excel. And now they're Bill Gates. And you're like, dang it. And what Paul was saying is, hey, if you believe in the resurrection, if Jesus is true, if all of this is true, you need to change how you live. You need to think about living into that truth now. And sure, the world may think you're strange. The world may think it's foolish to live like Christ today, to be raised like Christ tomorrow. It's going to cost you. It might even cost you your life. In Paul's time, some of those Christians that were sacrificing for Jesus were fed to the lions, were burned at the stake. Boy, that seems so useless, doesn't it? But if Jesus is alive, they made the right decision. It seems so foolish, right? But if Jesus is alive, if the resurrection is true, they made the right decision. Just like that nerd who never had anything to do on a Friday or a Saturday night because they were studying. By golly, they made the right decision. We only see that in hindsight. And Jesus is telling these Sadducees, he's telling you and me, live today with tomorrow in mind. Live today with the resurrection for tomorrow. Change now so you can live into that change tomorrow. He goes on to say this. Marriage is for people here on earth, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like angels. They are children of God and children of the resurrection. And that doesn't make a lot of sense. My wife hates that passage, by the way, because I'm going to brag for a moment. We got a really good marriage. And we want to be together for eternity. And she hates that passage because all of a sudden, what? This ends when we die? But yeah, it kind of does. And you and I get this if we remember high school again. Or if we remember middle school and our first love. And that puppy love that we were sure was going to last forever. And it was wonderful. But we had no idea what relationship was really like and what marriage was really like. And so we invested all of this time and all this energy into something in the past. And it taught us something. But it didn't grow into what we ultimately wanted. Marriage, with the resurrection in mind, recognizes before that's my wife. That's a child of God. That is a daughter of God. That is a daughter of the resurrection because she believes in Jesus. And how I talk to her, how I treat her, I need to keep that in mind. Know who I'm dealing with. I'm a son of God, a child of the resurrection. I'm not just her husband to fill out her honey-do list. And how I'm treated and how I respond should reflect that. Keep the future in mind. And so ultimately, we've talked about a fan, we've talked about the Christian atheist who believes in Jesus but doesn't really live like he exists. There's the Jesus follower who trusts Jesus with the resurrection, believes it's true, believes Jesus was the first, and one day we will too, and then lives like the resurrection really exists today. Do you and I live like the resurrection could happen today? Do you and I live free? Free with our time, free with our resources to give and to love because we see that you're a child of God. I'm going to invest in you, my time, my energy. Do I see my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, and do I see the potential of what could be for them? And so I invest in them that they might be a child of the resurrection. Invest my time. Invest my relational energy. Do I live like a high schooler who thinks this is going to be all there ever is and I'm a king of the mountain? Or do I make the wise decision to live right today because of what the future will be? What's your next step with Jesus? How are you called to live into the resurrection today? Because nowhere in Scripture Does it say you get to live however you want? And then boom. It says this. Jesus died and was resurrected. And if you follow him, if you say yes to Jesus, you will follow him into death, into the death to yourself, into picking up your cross and following him into that death, but you too will be raised like him. Are you hopeful in some crazy tomorrow land? Or do you believe the resurrection exists today? It changes everything. May it change me. May it change you. Amen.